Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This on a Tuesday is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Nick Nurse, coach of the Toronto Raptors, will stop by. Rick Bucher, Matt Barnes, Reggie Bush, Chris Broussard. It is great to have you. And Joy Taylor is joining me as we start. Yesterday we were absolutely packed on Memorial Day. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. How was your Memorial Day?
It was nice. Went home, hung out with the family. Wife had been gone, came back. So it was nice. Good family day for everybody. And thanks so much for joining us. Many of you, the holiday weekend, we were here, but glad to be here because there was a lot of basketball. I'm not an overly religious guy, but I do get a chuckle when LeBron James talks about basketball gods. He says, don't tempt them. Don't mess with the basketball gods. And, I'm not overly superstitious, but I've met people and I know people who are superstitious and, you know, who it's like the placebo effect. If you think something could happen and there are basketball gods, maybe it gets into your head and maybe it does work. But when I look at Kevin Durant's injury, were the basketball gods talking? Not only did Kevin Durant get injured, he got injured, you know, against that team, Houston. And that would be the perfect time for the basketball god to step in and say, all right, KD, I'm going to send you a message. You're going to be fine without the Warriors, and they're going to be fine without you. You've missed a bunch of games, but I'm going to make this injury right at the time Golden State absolutely thinks they need you. I mean, wasn't this the series that last year Houston controlled until Chris Paul got hurt? This year, they needed all hands on deck. And the basketball god said, we're going to tweak that calf. We're not going to make it too serious. The gods are always pro basketball, but we're going to give you about a two-week tweak on this thing, and you'll step out, and the Warriors will win without you against the team that they thought they needed everybody. And I think about this half seriously, but Austin, Texas is in Texas. It's not of Texas. I ski a lot in Park City, Utah. It's in Utah. It's not of Utah. Kevin Durant is on the Warriors. He's never really been of the Warriors. Steph and Clay are the heart of the team. Low maintenance, low drama, early investors. Kevin Durant's high drama, all sorts of maintenance. We're not sure he's a great fit. He's so talented, he's good, but it's an arguable fit. They're 31 out of their last 32 games without him, Steph playing and KD not. This has always been more of a fling than a marriage. I would love to see KD stay because I think he's smart and I think he's great, and I say it all the time, don't chase money, chase good management. There's a sea of money. There's not a ton of great management. But let's be honest about this. KD knows it's not a perfect fit. He can feel it. And the Warrior fans know it's not a perfect fit. They can feel it. And Draymond argued and yelled at KD earlier this year because he doesn't think it's a perfect fit. We're all dancing around this thing. And the basketball god stepped in and said, Kevin, we're going to nudge you to New York. And Warriors, we're going to nudge you to not feel guilty about this. Because, folks, anytime somebody great joins something already really, really good, you can feel when it's a perfect fit. Deion Sanders to the Dallas Cowboys was perfect. It was perfect. Glamour player, glamour owner, glamour franchise. It was perfect. By the second day, Jerry and Deion were doing commercials together. When The Rock, action star, joined the Fast and Furious franchise. I mean, that thing felt 5 minutes after they named it. You're like, oh, yeah, The Rock, Fast and the Furious. That's perfect. Reggie Jackson, Alex Rodriguez to the Yankees. Big stars, controversial. Baseball and the Yankees was the perfect fit. And you also know when the fit may work briefly but doesn't feel quite right. Chip Kelly to the Philadelphia Eagles. They went 10-6, 10-6. But in a cheesesteak blue-collar town, here was this Oregon guy with a new way to play football. It didn't really ever feel perfect. Bobby Valentine, quirky guy, to the tradition-laden Boston Red Sox. That just didn't feel right from day one, even in spring training. You ever see a couple? You just know, oh, that'll work. And then you see Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts, and you're like, yeah, they may be married for a year, but that's not going to work. Kevin Durant is a Warrior. He's not of the Warriors. He is a little maintenance. He is a little drama. He's a late investor. It's fine. It works. And I'm not a religious guy, but it's almost like the basketball gods injury again. And what a bizarre injury. Nobody around him against Houston. Kind of nudging Kevin. Dude, you're a little tight. Move to New York. Warriors, you can win this series against your arch rival without him. Be strong. Move on. Even Durant last week talked about it. He gets it. He feels it. It's not a perfect fit.
How have you thought about their play?
Our play?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I think we've been playing great.
Do you feel like there is that almost split where it's like you and them?
Most definitely. I mean, it's been that way since I got here. It's the Warriors and KD. You know what I'm saying? And I understand that. And I felt like my teammates and the organization know exactly what I've done. But I also know that a lot of people on the outside, you know, don't like to see us together. And, you know, I get it.
He can feel it. The city can feel it. The fans can feel it. And deep down, Draymond Green voiced an opinion that a lot of people felt on the roster. We like you, but we can feel it too. It's never been a perfect fit. Fling more than marriage. Let me shift to this. This sort of fell in our lap this morning. Big, big article. I took a lot of reading this morning. A lot of reading. Place I used to work has a massive 20-page article on the dysfunction of the Lakers. ESPN.com, massive article, a damning look at the Lakers. It's just bad all the way around. According to nearly two dozen current and former staffers, Magic and Pelinka fraught with dysfunction on and off the court. As one ex-Lakers star privately told Confidence, it's effing crazy over there. They talked about how they built the roster after LeBron arrived. We all had the same reaction that the basketball world did. Like, what the blank is going on? Not only are we not getting shooting, we're also getting every basket case left on the market. That from a coaching staff member for Luke Walton. Current and former team staffers told ESPN that Magic, who has many business interests outside the Lakers, was frequently absent. He comes off to the fan base, big love and a smile, said an ex-Laker athletic training official who interacted directly with Magic, but he's not. He's a fearmonger. Rob Pelinka's also quoted here that, and this is very irregular for an NBA GM, he would sit in on pregame and halftime coaching meetings. Front office executives, including GM, said that's not the way it works on the GM in the NBA. There's this story in November, so this was early in the season. Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, was having lunch with Adam Silver, Maverick Carter, and basically saying this Luke Walton thing doesn't work. I want Ty Lue. So LeBron's agent in November was looking for another coach. So I've been saying for months on the air, and I get this a lot when I walk around Los Angeles, man, you're hard on the Lakers. I'm saying, no, it's worse than you think. It's worse than you think. But I'm not in the facility or around it, and I don't have stuff double and triple sourced, but this is essentially proof of what I've been saying for 4 months. It's worse than you think. And this article is validation of that. But what is also clear from this article, it's not one person's fault. Magic, you know, everybody knew coming in, he's a busy, well-traveled guy that's got a lot of interest. Pelinka was an agent. He wasn't a GM. That wasn't a perfect fit. This is not just on Rob Pelinka. It's not just on Magic Johnson. It's not just on Jeannie Buss. It's not just on LeBron and Rich Paul. This is on everybody. It's just dysfunctional. But what this article tells me, and my wife always says this, be a great example or a horrible warning. Both actually work for kids. You'd rather be a great example, but the horrible warning thing could work too. Oh, dad did this. I'll never do that. And You know what this tells the Lakers? There's a clear message here. Make a trade. Do not wait for free agents to land. There's no way an agent's going to read this article and push his player to you. That would be a dereliction of duties. You couldn't. If my agent sent me to a company and there were articles like this about the company, I'd be like, nah, I'm not going to that place. That place is a mess. No agent can send a player into this mess. So this article, if you're in the Laker building, don't view it negatively. This is great. The sea just opened. You have to make a trade to get somebody. And you've got two forwards who averaged 18 a game, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, young. You can sell that as 18, could be 23. You have Lonzo Ball, and you have the number four draft pick, which appears to be fourth best player, a kid named Garland from Vanderbilt, a point guard. Bunch of teams need point guards. Phoenix could use one. Chicago could use one. Washington with John Wall out for a year could use one. People will view this negatively. But what it does, the translation of this article is, Lakers, don't mess around here. You need to make a trade before free, as soon as you can, make a trade, change the narrative, give up draft picks, get players, because there's no agent in the world that can, this comes out today, can say to a player, yes, I represent you. That's a perfect landing spot. No, that's when you fire an agent. So to me, you've got some assets, two young forwards average 18 a game. Lonzo, depending on how people value him, is a very unique point guard. You've got a number four pick, which appears to be fourth best player out of college, is a really good point guard. So you got a couple of point guard options. You got a couple of forward options. Engineer something. Make a deal here. It's clear. You're in the deal-making business, not the crossing your fingers and hoping a free agent lands in your lap business. You got to make something happen here. And again, great example or horrible warning. This article clearly sends you off the interstate to the exit, engineer a deal. No more crossing fingers and praying for free agents. Nah, that's done. Engineer a deal. If a deal then changes the narrative and can get a free agent to go, okay, the article's bad, but now I got LeBron. Now I got Anthony Davis. Now I got maybe a Bradley Beal. Okay, I'll join that. Those are highly functional guys. But the article's out. It is damning. It is validation of what we've said is going on for the last several months.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Some stories are just hard to believe. There's this one this morning fell into our lap. The Raiders signed, I kid you not, controversial guard Richie Incognito to a one-year deal. I believe at this point, they're just casting for Hard Knocks. That's all they're doing. They just want to be the best television show in the league. Richie Incognito has a very troubled past, was out of football last year. He's come on my show before and was on his best behavior, but last year was an odd year where he told people he had a gym incident. He was at a funeral home and said he would shoot people. He had a rough year, some mental evaluations, and you feel bad for people that go through that. But this is now the Raiders' fourth plan in a year. What's the message to your fans, your front office, your players? Remember the first plan? The Raiders' first plan was, we're not going to have stars. We're going to acquire draft picks. It feels very New England. We'll pay the quarterback. We're not paying anybody else. Let's get young. Let's get inexpensive. Let's pay the quarterback, and let's be nimble. That was plan one. I was like, all right, I wouldn't have traded Khalil Mack. I like Amari Cooper, but okay, that's a plan. That was their first plan. That's what they. That was the message to everybody, right? Their second plan was, just kidding. We're going to get Vontaze Burfict. Trouble. We're going to overpay for Trent Brown. We're going to get Antonio Brown, who is a lot of drama. We're going to overpay for virtually everybody. Okay. And then their third plan was, our bad. Chemistry matters. They go into the draft and they reach for several picks because they're chemistry guys, which I was like, okay, that's kind of the initial plan. Okay, maybe the second plan was just somebody had too much gin one night or something. So, and now there's their fourth plan, which is just kidding again. You have a locker room now with Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Brown, and Richie Incognito. I mean, what's next? Are you going to sign Gary Busey as a punter? Are you going to sign Charlie Sheen as a Sam linebacker? I mean, come on here. What's the plan? Where are you going? Accumulate draft picks, no stars. Just kidding, we're overpaying for everybody. We want good guys. Just kidding again. The Raiders logo, they should just put a penalty flag next to the pirate. That should be the Raiders' new logo. Or if not, give the pirate two eye patches, blinded to everything, because I can't figure out, like, the good teams in this league, you can see the plan. New England will pay Brady under market. It's not that we won't pay anybody, but we don't want the highest paid anybody in the league at any position. The Colts, we're creating a culture. Quiet, good dudes, leaders. Like the Rams, we're going to go for big free agents. We're in a glamour city. We're going to go for some big free agents, sometimes one-year contracts like Ndamukong Suh. Whether I agree with your direction, those teams, Rams have a direction. Patriots have a direction. Colts have a direction. I don't know what direction. I don't know what the messaging is saying here. It's just very confusing. Character guys? Wasn't that the whole plan of the draft? Character guys? I don't know. I'm lost. And this division's no day at the beach. Good luck. Kansas City's loaded. Chargers are loaded. Denver's got now the big, strong Flacco. I think they'll potentially be better. Good luck, Raiders.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I like analytics. Basically, analytics are, if you're playing the long game in life, use analytics for the most reliable way to win games. I also think manalytics matter. And I've told Daryl Morey of the Rockets this over lunch. I like analytics, but sometimes I just need a bucket, and I don't care about threes. I don't care about season averages. I got 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I need the best athlete in the floor to get a bucket. I don't care if it's a mid-range jumper. And the analytics crowd, they get very defensive if you're not all in on analytics all the time. But once the playoffs start, and I'm a big believer in analytics with baseball and the NBA, you have these long, long seasons where if you play the averages over time, it is best served to use them. But who are the two really talented teams, one in baseball and one in the NBA, that are really good in the regular season, very analytic-driven, but come up short in the playoffs? The Dodgers and the Houston Rockets. They can never deviate from the math. They can never deviate from the calculator. They're going to just... Here's the thing. It's like a 401k. The 401k is the most reliable and safest method over the course of 40 years for you to be a millionaire. Pay off your house and invest the maximum in your 401k. But the richest people in the world didn't save their way to wealth. You can't. That's an old saying in finance. You can't save yourself to wealth. You can save yourself to successful and comfortable and content. But Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, they got wealthy because they put everything, all the chips in Amazon, all the chips in Microsoft. They went for it. 401ks don't make you wealthy. They make you successful and content and comfortable. It's the same with cars. The Prius is the most reliable. It is the most efficient. And for Monday through Friday driving, you'll get the most efficiency. But the NBA playoffs, my friends, are not a paved road. You got to go four-wheeling. There's obstacles and detours and crashes and bumps and strife and drama. You need a V8. You need a four-wheel drive. It's not a paved road. The Dodgers and the Rockets are analytic mavens, but they do at times struggle to put down the calculator. What I've noticed in these NBA playoffs, and I know all the mathy people and geometry whizzes will hate this, But Kawhi Leonard won the East off a mid-range jumper. That's what he wanted off. He wanted off the mid-range jumper. And the Warriors, who you are absolutely sure led the world in three-point shots, of the 16. Now listen to this. Of the 16 NBA playoff teams, three-pointers, Warriors were 10th. And that's with the world's two best shooters, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. What I've really loved about these playoffs, analytic people, put down the calculator. When it comes to baseball playoffs, I don't give a rip about analytics. I need an out. I want Justin Verlander. I don't care if he pitched yesterday. He's a horse. I don't care if he's a starter. It's the seventh inning. It's game seven. Get Justin Verlander on the mound. I don't care what analytics say. I don't care it's not his position. He'll get me an out. I don't care about any math. There are just guys I want at the plate, and there's guys I want on the mound to get an out. And I don't care what the math says about mid-range. Kawhi Leonard's like a 55% mid-range jump shooter. We're tied 2 minutes left, fourth quarter. I don't give a rip about season averages. Hey, we're not in the regular season. I don't need a Tesla. I got to go off-road. I'm getting chased by a mountain lion. A Tesla's doing me no good. I need a four-wheel drive. And I know all the analytic mavens are just beside themselves. But the NBA playoffs have really shown us that what works for the season average is, and that's not to say analytics don't work. They do. The 401k works. The Prius is the most reliable. But NBA playoffs are completely different. I get a face the same people over and over and over. I know all your plays. I know all your tricks. There are no surprises. We'll make shifts over the course of a series, but bottom line is, you know my best moves. I know yours. Who's the alpha? Who gets the bucket? Everybody's equally rested. Everybody knows everybody else's plays. I'm not into season averages when the season's got 2.5 minutes left. And by the way, all the analytics for the Milwaukee Bucks went out the window when they're trailing 97-92 against the Toronto Raptors, and they had back-to-back possessions and looked scared. Did the analytics have the fear percentage in there? Because Milwaukee looked petrified. Nobody wanted to take a shot. I mean, seriously, and there were moments early in these playoffs when the Toronto Raptors were playing hot potato with a ball. Is that analytics? Heart, soul, fear, confidence. Does that show up in analytics? I mean, look, Kawhi Leonard stole Giannis's confidence. That doesn't show up in regular season analytics. But I'm watching that game. I'm watching game six, and I'm like, Giannis has lost confidence. Kawhi feels like he's the next version of MJ, and that didn't show up in regular season analytics. Not at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rick Bucher's our guest, senior writer, Bleacher Report, a friend of the show, now FS1 employee as well. You've seen this.
Yes, I saw an early showing in San Francisco at the Castro Theater. It is impressive.
Okay,
really
it's,
well done.
It's interesting. So I know Alcatraz. Is San Quentin the one?
North.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not that far from...
No, it's not that far from San Francisco.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
That interesting story, so watch that. All right, so, by the way, during the break, we got real estate icon here. So you just dropped this casually. Like, this just says nothing. And you didn't take much from it, maybe, but, you know, it's all this talk about KD, and he's leaving, he's going here. All right, let's talk real estate.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with this house in the Bay Area?
So the house in the Bay Area is up for sale. And he has purchased a place in New York. And I believe it's New York City. They just said, I was told, New York. But keep in mind, when it comes to selling the place in the Bay Area,
all right,
everybody is selling their place in the Bay Area because they need to move from the East Bay to the peninsula. Steph is selling his house and actually moving close to someone I know. With a golf simulator as part of the house.
Because the arena is moving, people don't want a 55-minute drive.
Yes, no, it's too challenging. So, and I've been a number of their practices this past week. Every practice I go to, assistant coaches, people are coming up to me saying, now, where do you live and where do you think I should live? And so they're all and it is one of those elements that people don't take into account. Like when an arena moves,
oh, yeah,
it changes everything
sure.
for everybody's involved. And that's the case. Now, it is interesting timing that KD is not only putting his house up for sale in the Bay Area, but that he's also purchasing a place in New York. The reason I don't immediately jump to, oh, that's it, it's done, is because when you have the wherewithal and the money that KD has and you're from the East Coast, it is reasonable to think that he might be buying a place in New York just to have a place in New York.
Yes, the Europeans, rich Europeans.
Yes.
They all have a place in New York.
Yes.
So that doesn't... That,
yes.
I think it, that... I
but
think,
it's the timing.
It is the timing. Now, there's been a lot of Kevin Durant, Kyrie talk.
Yes.
You have any insight on Kyrie? Because 2 months ago, if I said KD,
yes.
you'd say Kyrie KD.
Yes.
Okay, so they're both having weird endings to the season. What's the latest on Kyrie?
The latest that I've heard is that it's between Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Wow!
And I've heard that the Lakers and Kobe Bryant... Now, Kobe told me, or indicated to me, that he was not involved. That he was, hey, that's their deal. I'm not part of it. But I was told in the last 24 hours, Kobe has been busy recruiting Kyrie in particular to try to get him to the Lakers. Now, everything that I've heard, I would still expect that Kyrie is is going to go to Brooklyn. That's the odds-on favorite.
Because he grew up in Jersey, like the Nets.
And if we're going to continue our real estate, he just bought a place in South Orange.
Okay. So how do you... Where do you find out? Who's your realtor?
It's not realtors. It's people that know what they're doing business wise.
So I'm not even, because we're going to go out to dinner tonight. I'm not even going to give you my address. Just find it.
Okay. Okay. I don't care about where you're living. I want to know where you're going.
All right. So let me move into the before we get into the final stuff, because you cover the Warriors and the NBA. You live in the Bay Area. I theorize this.
Yeah.
That I have an agent, and I've had it not because I just need it because I'm negotiating against massive companies and lawyers. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to represent me. If my agent ever said, hey, as a company, I know it's getting terrible press and it's completely dysfunctional, but that's where I'm going to send you. I'd be like to my agent, I need a new agent. The Lakers story comes out today on ESPN.com. It's a circus. My takeaway is you have to engineer a trade to take back the narrative. If you can engineer a trade and get a Bradley Beal, LeBron Bradley Beal, then the narrative is, yeah, it's a little circus in the front office, but they got two guys, because I think right now I would be, the idea that article's out and an agent's going to say, oh, it's a terrific landing spot.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rick.
No, I'm with you. And they do need to change the narrative, and getting a player to pair with LeBron would help change that narrative.
Yes, a good player.
But the ability to get that player, because even if you're trading, you need to work with other agents. You need to know that the players coming in want to be there and want to be part of this. And that's what they're fighting right now. And for me, this is for all of us who respect and appreciate what Jeannie Buss has done. This is from us to you, Jeannie. You need to step up and take charge of this franchise. Right now, there is nobody who is demonstrating who's in charge. Who's in charge? Who's making the decision? She was not quoted in the piece that just came out. She hasn't addressed any of this. And so you have a dumpster fire, and you're looking at it saying, when is somebody going to take charge and say, yes, all this has happened, or this is what's being said, but this is how I'm going to lead you out of the fire. This is where we're going to go. There's none of that happening. So everybody looking at this summer who's making their plans on where they want to play and what they want to do are looking at this saying, I don't want any part of that. Like, what are my other choices? Exactly as you said at the very beginning. Why would I want to go to the Lakers?
So don't you have to engineer a trade? Like, let's say, I'll throw this. I love Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the argument earlier. There's a lot of people in America who are really talented, but there's some sort of duress or chaos in an organization. Eric Ebron for the Lions, dysfunctional Lions, goes to the highly functioning Colts and becomes a Pro Bowler.
Sure.
Victor Oladipo, Westbrook's hard to deal with. Put him in Indiana, make him the guy. He flourishes.
Sure.
I think Beal's numbers are good. I think John Wall can be difficult to play with. Kind of an immature player initially. I'm not sure if he's the world's greatest backcourt tandem. Talented. Mm-hmm. I think Beal with a highly functioning LeBron would be a much better player. He's a really good player. Could he become Klay Thompson, where we're in the conversation of top 12, 13 guy in the league?
Right.
Washington would jump out to a team that would like a draft pick number four. Yep. They kind of want to rebuild.
Yep.
If I said to you, what is a trade that just in the Rick Bucher mind of basketball you could make with this Laker team? You got two young forwards, both score 18. Lonzo on the four pick. What worked? That's not enough to get Anthony Davis, in my opinion.
No, it's not. You wouldn't have to give as much up. I keep coming back to Chris Paul. And apparently LeBron and Chris Paul have gotten together recently. They already have a connection. You wouldn't have to give quite as much up to get him, because his feeling is that Houston has to hit the reset button.
You think Chris Paul...
Well, you asked what's realistic. That, to me, is realistic. If I'm the Wizards with a player like Bradley Beal, I'm not only trying to get off of that, I'm trying to get off of John Wall's contract. Now, how much money can you take back? And what can the Lakers give me? Because Bradley Beal is an established star in this league. Whatever I'm getting at the number four pick, I don't know that.
Yeah, but if you give me Kyle Kuzma a four... Kyle averaged 18, number four pick.
You're trying to talk me into this.
Lonzo, Kyle Kuzma, and the four. That's not worth Bradley Beal for a team that wants to rebuild. That by number four pick is that point guard from Vandy.
For as good as Bradley Beal is, I would think that I could do better.
Wow.
This is the biggest thing, is that when you have a guy who has established that he's capable of doing what Bradley Beal is doing, and you know that he's been in this kind of, I don't want to say toxic, but in this difficult circumstance, everybody's seeing that too. If I pair him or I get him out of this situation, right, man, he's going to blossom.
So everybody sees it.
So everybody's looking at that saying, Bradley Beal would be a great get. And as the great Don Nelson once said, all I'm looking for is a rich man in trouble. Ted Leonsis right now is a rich man and he's in trouble. He needs to make a decisive move, largely because of that John Wall contract and the possibility that he's all done.
Rick Bucher, senior writer, Bleacher Report. All right, two things. KD's traveling with a team. What's that mean? He's going with him to Toronto.
So there's two ways to look at this. One, either it means that he's close, because normally you would stay home and you would continue to rehab.
Yeah.
So this is almost like, well, wow, if he's going, maybe he's almost ready and he could play in game two.
So game one's Thursday, game two Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay, so, I mean, if he left today.
Right. But the other is, he's so far away, it doesn't matter. There's no rehab to be done, because there's no rehab that's going to get him ready for this series. From everything I've heard, I'm inclined to believe the latter. He's going just to be there and to be present and to be part of it, not because he's ready to play. I do not expect to see him play in this series.
Oh, and none of it.
Oh, I don't expect. Wait, look, when this originally happened, I was told and said that it was going to be 3 to 6 weeks. Then the Warriors came out and said it's more serious than we originally thought, which leads me to believe it's closer to the 6 weeks than it is the 3 weeks. 3 weeks is tomorrow from the date of the injury. So now we're talking another 2 weeks. The series is going to be over. Game six is in 2 weeks from Thursday. So I just don't see a way in which he's going to be able to get back and play in this series. And I would think the same with DeMarcus Cousins.
Wow.
I don't think either one of those guys are going to play in the series.
So this is small ball for 10 days.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes. Which I believe is going to make the series more interesting than people.
So let's go to your prediction.
I'm saying the Warriors in six, but I would love seven, and I think it's going to be, I'm hoping, I mean, this might be wishful thinking, but I believe it can be a competitive six games.
By the way, the Maverick team that beat the favored Heat with three stars,
yes,
had a good coach, crafty veterans,
yep,
go-to star, no indecision, end of possession, end of game, and they'd beaten them twice in the regular season. And they faced a team in Miami that had some drama. Isn't that the Warriors now? Three stars?
Oh, no. No drama.
You don't think this KD thing's a little drama?
No drama. No drama. I've been around them. I've talked to them. They are as locked in. And by the way, Steph Curry on his left hand has two little pieces of black tape. And I saw him shooting the other day. He was in a zone. He was shooting left-handed 12-foot floaters and dropping them with his damaged, his injured hand. I think he's dialed in. I think they see the finish line.
How's Iggy's health?
Iggy's physical health is great. He's had a lot to carry as far as keeping this team together. Like, for example, the whole Klay Thompson thing, not being named All-NBA. He's not upset with the $30 million. He's upset over the idea that you're saying that there's six guards in the league better than me?
A little chip on the shoulder.
And so what happens is that can kind of veer a guy in wanting to prove something. This is not time to prove anything individually. And Andre's been one of those guys in the locker room who's always made sure that everybody stays on the same page.
Livingston, Iggy, you're going to – this 9 days helped Golden State more than Toronto.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's – and starting on the road. Steph pointed this out to me the other day. He goes, this is the first time we'll go to the finals. We'll start on the road. We got to get on a plane to start. And we're not playing in Cleveland. And they were so used to, this is our hotel. These are the restaurants. This is how long it takes to get to the arena. This is what the arena feels like. I mean, it was a second home for them. This is going to be completely different. That said, I believe it's exactly what they need, because I think if they were starting an Oracle and they're looking at the Raptors, they'd give away a game. They would. It's just been their tendency all year long. I think having to start on the road, they're going to be more dialed in than they normally would.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Tonight, we got to go get some fish.
Sounds good.
Rick Bucher and I. Seattle kid, Bay Area, fish
night.
Fish.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
A great story. Not only the Raptors, but Nick Nurse, first season as coach of the Raptors, after 30 years as a coach or an assistant in college, the British Basketball League, and the G League. This is really a remarkable story that, you know, most of us don't know who Nick Nurse is, and now he's on our TV all the time, and he is joining us live in Toronto. First of all, Nick, thanks for coming on. I imagine the travel is a little higher grade in the NBA. This is a great life for you and your family right now.
Just a smidgen higher, Colin.
Yeah.
Little better than the Don Hall guest house in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I look at you, you are the Raptors. Who is Nick Nurse? And you fight and you grind. And listen, chip on the shoulder. I mean, isn't there a little bit of you thinking, why did it take me so long to get here?
Not really, Colin. I think, you know, I used to get that question a lot when I was coaching in the G League, which was the D League when I was coaching in it. Yeah. You know, we were kind of, you know, having the best record in the league and getting a lot of players called up, and people would constantly be saying, how come you're not in the NBA? And I never really worried about it. I just wanted the head coaching experience. I knew it was going to pay off someday and be valuable. You know, I love those jobs. I had two jobs, one in my home state in Iowa, and one on the Mexican border down there at the Rio Grande Valley, and I loved them both.
You know, load management became a term this year. Kawhi and LeBron took some time off, and I was one of those guys. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. It sounds like an accounting term, but I could make an argument this morning that it helped Kawhi. He looks fresh. You asked him to push up against Giannis. I mean, you know, you look at it, could I make the argument, Nick, that for a star player that knows he's going to go through the playoffs, missing 10, 12 games is not the end of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could make that argument. I think we were in a situation where we didn't play a lot, you know, the year before because of the injury. And I just think we wanted to, you know, slow play it a little bit. You know, just we didn't really know him that well. We wanted to see what we had. We wanted to make sure he was healthy. And you know, like the early conversations that I'd have with him were never about like becoming MVP or whatever. He's just like, listen, I want to play a long, healthy career, and I'm all about winning. You know, that's all he ever talked about. And the gear that he's thrown it in here in the playoffs has
wow.
been really fun to watch.
You know, it's also what I love about Kawhi is not only low drama, but I love the mid-range jumper. I'm one of those guys. I love it. I don't want just guys chucking up threes. I like a guy working like a playground for a good shot off a screen. I like analytics. I do. I respect analytics. But I like something called manalytics. Mm-hmm. I need a man to get a bucket. What do you make of the postseason where the mid-range jumpers had a little bit of a comeback?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's certainly the argument, you know, there's still the pulse of the guy and the heart inside the guy, right? That's probably outweighs the analytics. And when you got a guy like Kawhi that hits him at that rate, you're analytically okay, you know, you still as well, you know what I mean? And I just, again, most important thing is that you get a shot, you know, the turnover is what really kills you in the analytic world.
Yep.
And you get it to a guy that gets a shot and he clears some space and feels pretty good. Most of the time when it comes off his hand, you're shocked when it doesn't go in. You know, that's a good feeling for a team to have.
You know, Nick Nurse, coach of the Raptors, actually people think you have an advantage because KD won't play. I think it's weird. You're preparing for two different teams. You don't know if Boogie's going to play. You don't know if KD's going to play. I think that's hard. That's a little bit of a – I'd kind of like to know what I have. How do you prepare for the Warriors, with KD or without him?
That's exactly how it is every night in the D League, Colin. I mean, you know who's going to be on the floor about an hour before the game. So you put your game plans out there. You assume both of them are going to play until somebody tells you officially that they're not. And then when they're not, you don't. It just doesn't bother you. It doesn't move your meter too much, man. You pull up your socks and get ready to go at it, man. You know.
You guys, one of the reasons I'm shocked you're here, I said, I've been watching the NBA for 40 years. I was an old Seattle Sonics fan with downtown Freddie Brown and Gus Williams. And I'm like, they don't have a second scorer, and I don't know if they can make it. And Siakam's post-All-Star break has really blossomed. But did you worry early in the season? Who's getting his buckets after Kawhi?
Not really. I mean, it's a great question, and it really becomes to bear in the playoffs, right? Like who's your number two, who's your third guy, really? But we had a lot of games without Kawhi, something like 22.
Yep.
We had something like 20 some without Kyle, and we just kind of tried to play a little bit of a move the ball, get a good shot, move it to the open man, you know, like I say, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to play defense and hit the open man, you know, and it's like, I know that sounds simple, but it's a good thing we were trying to do. And I think it gave a lot of guys on different night confidence from, you know, Siakam especially. We really let him have some freedom and take the ball and run with it. Danny Green can hit some threes, Freddie, Norm, Serge. And then we pick up Gasol, and after we got Gasol, we became the number one 3-point shooting team in the NBA.
Yep.
Because we were moving it even more to the open man. So I don't know. And we had, that was probably what excited me the most. We had some great moments when Kawhi was in his rest periods against Milwaukee.
Yeah. By the way, I like Drake. I don't like guys touching coaches. What did you make of that? It became like an international story. What did you make of it?
Well, yeah, I'm like you. I really like him. He first of all, he's really nice. Really nice to me all the time. And he's a huge fan. He's almost like a little kid. And you know, when he's around our team, it's great. I didn't feel it in the game. I said I didn't know till the next morning. Somebody sent me a picture, and I said, geez, I didn't even remember that happened. And I said either A, I was really really focused, which I probably was, or B, he has really soft hands. That was my answer.
Well, you're a great story. I'm shocked. I picked Milwaukee. Joy, my counterpart here, loved you all year, and you deserve.
Good job, Joy.
Yeah, good job, Joy.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
Coach.
Congratulations.
Hey, Joy, I feel like I know you better. Nate Bjorkman's on my staff and was with me in the minor leagues, and he worked for your fiance Earl. So I feel like I know you and Earl a little more than I actually do. But thanks for picking us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, we support you, and shout out to Nate.
Nick, great story. Great North American city. We think it's going to be a fascinating series, and congratulations to you and everybody with the Raptors.
Hey, thanks a lot, Colin. I'm a big fan. Just wanted you to know that.